Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I mean with my baby.
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Reality and Relationships. I am your host, K.L. Belvin. And if you hear my voice, it must be Thursday night. Welcome every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. My lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin, and I do the best we can to bring you a look at relationships from many different angles, and not just dating relationships, marital relationships, all relationships, just how you react with people. And we talk about the news, we talk about a little bit of everything. This is what we do. This is our home on Thursdays from 8 to 10. Now, one of the first things I want you to do is call somebody up, tell them to tune it on. Turn it on, excuse me, tune in. If you're listening from the computer, thank you. If you're calling in from the number, 646-200-3838, So if you have to leave your computer and want to listen on your phone as you're riding in your car, you can still do so. So we want to thank everyone for turning in. I don't know if my lovely wife is there or not, so I'll continue to do what I do. With it being Thursday, it is, I am tired today, I'm not even going to lie, but I am actually happy that I am here, because, you know, when I was coming home today from work, I realized that it is real easy to overlook the blessings that you've been given. It is real easy to worry about self when you see the different things that's going on out here. I am actually happy that the Lord has blessed me with being able to do some of the things, even in all my pain. Hold on, Sheba. Because what folks don't realize is that even in your most difficult moments, you are placed in a positive position. Because to get out of a painful situation, you are often tossed into looking at things that you might not have considered before, finding things about yourself that you didn't know. And I have learned that it is in my most difficult moments that I become the most resourceful. My brain will work overtime. And so I am thankful to the Lord of all of those things. And I almost forgot. I want to thank the Lord for everything, because without him, wouldn't even be here now to be on the phone talking to you, to be on the air talking to you. So definitely. Well, while I'm waiting for my wife to join us, I'm going to fill y'all in on what my week has been like. I went to a professional development, and as a teacher, we have to continue to strive. We have to continue to make sure that we're learning. It's the way that we're able to teach kids. So I decided to go to a health education professional development on Tuesday. And it was interesting, because when you're one of the older teachers in the room, people tend to, I don't know, they some will look at you like, well, why do you even need to be here? And some look at you like, wow, I hope to get to that point. Me, I'm sitting there going, I hope I learned something new. And I started to look around the room, and I realized that, you know, the real excitement is getting to know new people. And that's what I take advantage of when I go to professional development, is I try to make sure I meet at least one or two teachers and connect with them and pass my information on, because you can believe the world is a large place if you like. It really isn't. And no sooner did I say that to myself, that the instructor, him and I got into a conversation, and he had mentioned that he appreciated me being at the professional development the week before, because I went to one on election day. And I was just telling him that I joined these because I'm hoping to, you know, get some information. Well, one of the gentlemen that came downstairs is one of the liaisons of the physical education, health education region of New York. He came down to get some information. He was talking to everyone. And I happened to look up from where I was sitting. And I said, I know that guy. I went to school with him. And he grabbed the papers. He went back upstairs. So it was right around the time for our break. I go upstairs to talk to him. And him and I start to reminisce. And we're talking about when we were at community college together, when we were at four-year school together. And it was just listening to where he had taken his career, and that he was now, he had his doctorate. And it was just interesting. And once the professional development was over, I came back up. Him and I talked. We exchanged cards, of course. And we passed information on to each other. I have to really say, on my ride home, I felt a little in between. I wasn't envious of my friend's position, but it really jolted me to realize what I had gave up for the life choices that I had made years ago. Because him and I were on similar track, doing similar things. And I decided that being the life of the party, chasing women, I actually basically decided that coochie was going to be more important than my career. So anytime you make foolish decisions, you're going to have even dumber outcomes. So when this gentleman and I are sharing our story, you know, I've had some moniker of success. I'm not unhappy where I am. But when him and I sit and talk, and we still know some of the, so what, he still is connected to some of the people that we went to school with. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, how did I lose all these contacts? And then I realized it's because I made the choice to be about me, not my business. And so it really got me thinking when I got home. I said, you know what? I can't change what I did. Can't change what happened in the past. What I can do is push forward. This weekend, I have a ton of emails I'm going to send out and reconnect with a lot of folks from my past. They can either say yes to yay and nay. They can accept emails and open up the door and we can go from here. Or they can just wish me well and we don't ever talk again. Y'all know how that game is played. When, you know, person, y'all smile, y'all laugh, y'all exchange cards, say, well, let's hook up. You know you don't have any intention of talking to that person on a regular basis. You might return the email, but you ain't really trying to do business with them. And I'm going to tell you, it's funny because I meet a lot of those folks. And I don't get bent out of shape anymore. I just put the card in the card holder that I have, and you never know. It might be somebody that you can call on as a resource. But I'm definitely going to sit down and do that this weekend, is reconnect. Because you also don't know what's changed in their lives. The things that have changed in your lives may match up with where they are. You'd be surprised. And his reaction to me was positive. But I said, you know what? It's pretty proud of this person. Plus, he's the liaison in the area that I'm teaching. So if nothing else, he can help me professionally as a resource, information that I need as an educator. It also reminded me of what I got to do physically. So I was on the bike today at work, getting in my 25 to 30 minutes. And definitely have to make sure that the health is in place. So that's another thing. And then also this week, it's just been really focusing on trying to be better in the class. I think Tuesday pushed me a little, gave me a little kick in the butt that I need to be a little better. Not that I'm, not that I'm unhappy where I'm at, but I believe there's always room for improvement. And so this is where I'm at. Now we're still waiting for my lovely wife to get herself situated. You know, when you're waddling around and you're with child, you move slower. So I'm wondering where she is at. She'll be around here somewhere soon. I'm going to entertain you. And if you'd like, you can actually call in 646-200-3838. Just press the number 1, and you can definitely join in. Say hello. Let me know what's going on with you, because we're going to get to our normal position that we do on Thursday. It is my lovely wife. Anyway, but I also figured that this week that I need to sit down and really focus on what am I going to do in the next 5 years. Now, I know I'm going to become a father. Listen, God will take care of that. Being a father again, I'm excited about it and can't wait. But I'm talking about personally, like, what is the direction that I want to do? And right now, I believe that it's going to be education. I'm definitely going to get started on my second master's degree, on my PhD, because my plan is by 50 years old to have things in place, education wise. That's it. And I'm going to focus on the new line of business. I'm trying to figure out which counseling degree I want, and that's the area that I'm moving into. From 50 on, 50 until I decide to retire, I want to do counseling. I don't know if it's going to be educational counseling, private counseling, but I know it's definitely going to be some type of counseling, because I believe that there's so many folks that are out here hurting, and they need some type of assistance, they need some type of help, and I want to do that. And so I'm definitely going to work on my PhD or second master's degree so I can go in that route. And I figure with the years that I've spent as an educator, it'll be a perfect transition. So this is what I'm going to do. So again, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a 2-song break, and I'm going to go figure out what's going on with the wife, and we can get this started the right way. I don't want to just sit here and bore you to death listening to me. So you're listening to Reality and Relationships. I am KL Belvin. It is Thursday night. We'll be back after 2 songs. I'm going to go find Waddle and see why she has not waddled to the mic, and we can get things started. We'll be back in 2 songs.
Yeah. Forces join forces. Let's go. Reminisce on what we had, but I can't help but count the ways you've been there for me, and I don't think you know how much you mean to me, cause I hold you tight, cause it feels so right, cause for me to you, cause all I wanna do is
see the smile back on your face,
see the smile on your face,
and you know just how much of love in the morning, always see you through. What have I done for you? I should pull you close to me, have you see how much I love you, thankful for all that you do. I hope I see the smile on your face, because you know how much
y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
higher,
higher.
Born again.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is your host, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. I guess my dear husband, KL, took a leave.
I just was speaking into the mute button. I was sitting there talking, and I actually said, you going to act like you didn't just hear me say all that? And I didn't realize I was muted. I was sitting there barking on you. Yeah. I was like, how's she just going to repeat what I just said? I just said, welcome back to Reality and Relationships. Yo, I'm going to wait till I talk to her off air. And I realized my mute button was on. Yeah.
I got to apologize.
Yeah, I was about to pull a Martin and just sit back and chill. You sound like a train whistle. Chill it. Where Martin at? Shut up. Put Martin back on the phone. You finished everything you had to do in the bathroom and all that, man? You good?
Why do you have to let people know my business? My goodness. I am a pregnant woman. And yes, pregnant women have to use the bathroom sometimes.
Really? Really? Been there for like 75 minutes. Been there like 2 hours.
I was not in there 75 minutes. You were only talking 15 minutes before you went to the two phones.
Whatever. Anyway, what's going on, dog?
You can't do the show without me. Aww.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever, Waffle. I'll show you on December 12th.
That's right, December 12th. That's like, oh my goodness, I'm less than a month from now. For those who don't know, I am going to Florida. I'm taking a mini vacation away from KL.
What? I'm not
going? No, we have Florida, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Actually, my best friend Susie and I are going to Florida. I was asked to come, judge a pageant, which I did 2 years ago. Had a very wonderful time, met some wonderful people. It was a great experience. So they asked me to come back and judge. And it's basically all expenses paid. They're paying for the flight, the hotel, most of our meals. So I'm going to have a good time from December 10th to the 16th. So if you're in Florida, it's nice we have Florida listeners. If you're in Florida, I'll be in Orlando if you'd like to come visit me. I'm calling it crazy to come visit me, but you can come visit me.
And purchase books, because she's going to take some books with her this year.
Yes, I'm going to take some books also. I didn't take books 2 years ago. You know, I didn't know what the setup was. It was my first time going. I didn't know if it would be appropriate to do so. But this time around, I'm definitely taking some brazen books with me, because, of course, we are the publishers. But I'm looking forward to the trip. So is Susie, because it's her birthday, and we're going to be celebrating her birthday and seeing one of her friends while we're down there.
Cool.
So, yes,
I think we have a guest on that day, too. That's Lauren Green, I think, will be on.
Yes, on the 12th. Lauren Green. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Unfortunately, I won't be able to call in. Unlike before when I went to Atlanta, I called in. But when I go to Florida, we have a busy schedule. We have like 18-hour days.
Wow.
The schedule is really packed. So we get one day off during the week, and that's a Friday. Unfortunately, it's not Thursday. But I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
So, honey,
well, how was your week?
Well, I was just about to ask you, did you tell everyone about the baptism?
No, I did not. I was, I took a break, but go ahead.
Well, I expected you to tell them about the baptism.
No, the baptism was great. You know, it was, I had already said enough about me, but no, it was, I can't lie. It was a fantastic experience, emotionally, everything, because it was something that I really wanted to do. Something that I had really planned for emotionally, didn't know what I was going to think or feel. And the funny thing is, right at that moment, I was just blank. Like, I know some people, you know, they say a prayer, funny going, I was good. Once the pastor told me to wrap my hand across my chest, and then he, you know, told me to cover my mouth, it was into the water we went. And it was just, it was something that I needed to do. And I felt great, but I even felt better that I had a chance to give my testimony to the congregation before experiencing the baptism. And so,
and you know, I actually think that the congregation enjoyed your story, because it's funny, Kale was very nervous. I'm not sure why he was nervous the day before and the days leading up to it, because it's not like the first time he's had to speak in front of an audience. And I think once he was telling his story, people could really understand where he was coming from, and they enjoyed it. There were even a couple of moments where people laughed at, you know, funny things that he had to say. But I have to admit that I did get teary-eyed, even if he didn't. I did get teary-eyed at the symbolism of what was happening, and I knew that he was finally making that major commitment, because some people see it as just a ritual, but others see it as a serious commitment in expressing your spiritual belief. So I was really teary-eyed to see him take that step.
And we have no video.
I knew you were going to bring that up. I
my
knew
wife did not have worked
going
the iPad.
To bring that up.
We got stills.
I can't, you know.
Yes, my wife is not technologically savvy.
It's not that I'm not technologically savvy.
Uh-huh. Here
it's
it comes.
I was engrossed in the moment, and I did not even think to take video. I took still pictures of KL in the water. And
who forgets to take video?
I wasn't thinking. I really wasn't thinking. But thankfully, the pastor does have video, and he's going to send you a copy, right?
Yeah, he said he's going to check to see if they have it. If they have a copy, he's going to send me a copy, and I will gladly post it on Facebook and on the blog, my blog, actually, klbelvin.blogspot.com. Actually, I got to start doing some more writing. I've been engrossed in this writing project that I have not gotten to my blog and wrote anything new, but I definitely want to write about that experience. So I'm going to put something up soon. So maybe I'll wait, get the video, and put it all together. Yeah, it was, but you know, and then the pastor was very engaging and inviting, and it just made for a very comfortable day. They treat you very nice. And you can actually see that all the individuals that were involved with the church was genuinely happy to see the ritual take place. And I think that's another thing, too, is that you felt as if you were joining a family. You are joining a Christian family, per se. You already know it inside, but it's an outwardly expression. I think some people will tend to overrate baptism in the sense that, you know, they think that magically their whole life is going to change. But if you feel it internally, it will affect how you do things externally. So yeah, I guess it is a major change that can happen. But I have to be honest, it was great to see the smiles. Really great to see the smiles from all the folks around. And then I was able to change my clothes and come sit with my family, and then having my wife, my mother, and my aunt, my cousin there to celebrate me. My only regret is I wish my grandmother had been there. And, you know, these are the things that was just, you know, I thought to myself, and I said, you know what, a little tear fell, because I said, you know, I wish my grandmother could see this here. But she's actually the motivation behind it, because she had been telling me I was going to do so many things. And then to finally be here making this move, but I know she was somewhere smiling, so. It was right. But enough about me. How was your week, Irma Brockovich?
My week, surprisingly, it has been very relaxing. And I have to say surprisingly, because as I mentioned on the last show, my former employer laid me off, which Kale and I wasn't surprised it was going to happen. We weren't upset at all, you know, under the circumstances that I was working. I was a little bit relieved that they let me go. until I got the notice in the mail that I would not be receiving unemployment because I was not eligible. So that was a real shocker. And even then, I got a little bit upset, but not as upset as I probably would have been in the past. I think, you know, I think I'm growing. I always talk about personal development and how to deal with things and situations. And I think I was moved a little bit, but not angry to make some moves, if that makes sense. And I didn't know what I was going to do. Kale and I sat here and talked and, you know, discussed our options. And it was so funny that a couple of days before receiving a letter from the Department of Labor, I was looking at Craigslist.com, looking for jobs. And, of course, sending my resume out. And I came across an ad from a labor attorney who basically was advertising if you've been fired, laid off, you know, just different things, services that they could provide. So I overlooked it. I didn't think anything of it. And then it came to me while I was sitting here wondering, what am I going to do? And I said, you know what? I'm going to find the ad from the labor attorney on Craigslist. So I looked it up. I found it. And I sat for 2 hours, maybe more, almost three, and I started writing. And I introduced myself to the attorney in my email. I explained who I was, gave him as much background information that I had and that I could remember. And when I was done writing my email and pressed the send button, I felt such a relief. And it's funny because I was very quiet, and usually KL and I, we talk, and he's in his room on a computer. I'm usually in the living room on a computer, and we talk back and forth, but I wasn't talking, and he was wondering why I was so quiet, and I said, I'm writing an email to an attorney. And like I said, once I sent it, I felt so much relief. I wasn't angry. I wasn't upset. I didn't even, you know, some people, they even cry in those instances. I didn't even feel the urge to cry. I just felt like, you know what, I'm just going to do this, and whatever happens, happens. If something comes and they decide, you know what, Tiffany, this is a case, so be it. If they say no, you don't have any case, you don't have any grounds, so be it. So the next morning, I woke up, and every morning I start my day with stuff to do. I always have a plan and with things to do. I don't just sit around the house and do nothing, even if it's cleaning the house, clearing out a box, making a bed. Actually, I made the bed 2 days in a row. That's a first in I don't know how many years because I don't usually do that. But cook dinner, prepare lunch or breakfast for KL when I can. But I start out with a plan, so I went on with the routine of my day, and then I got a phone call, and it was actually from the attorney who I sent the email. And he said he received my email, and it was a lot of information, and he wants me to come into the office, which is a good thing, because a lot of times when you contact an attorney, they'll tell you over the phone whether you have a case or not. And I'll give you an example. I actually have a friend, a fellow pageant sister, who went for a job. She went to an interview. She didn't get the job. They gave the job to someone else. It didn't work out with the person they hired. So I guess she was the second best. And they contacted her and said, well, we want to offer the position to you. And she said, well, listen, she's also pregnant. She's a couple of weeks ahead of me. And she said, listen, I'm 6 months pregnant. Is that going to be a problem? And they said no. And basically, they gave her a day to start working. As the day approached, she was maybe a week before her day to start working, and they contacted her and gave her a different date to start working. She didn't think anything of it, and then the day before she was supposed to start, they contacted her and said, listen, unfortunately, the timing of your pregnancy is off, so we have to rescind the offer of the job. Now, for those who don't know, because I realized in everything I'm going through that a lot of times people are not aware of the Lord. That's the reason why KL and I had the Know Your Rights as an Employee discussion last week. But a company is not allowed to discriminate against you because you're pregnant. And they're not allowed to say, well, we're not going to offer you the job because you're having a baby and it's going to inconvenience us. So the first thing she did, and it's so funny because she came on the pageant forum and she asked, was this legal? So a bunch of us in HR and, you know, working law offices and different things, of course we said, no, it's not legal. And she got in contact with one of the people who handled the legal things with the pageant, and they gave her information, so she contacted a lawyer. The only thing is, when she contacted the lawyer, they told her that the company would have to have more than 15 employees in order to be considered breaking the law. So basically, they were actually within their rights to not hire her, and they could rescind the offer. If they had more than 15 employees, she would probably be sitting on a gold mine, and that's what the attorney told her, that she would have a great case. But unfortunately, it was a small company, and they couldn't move forward. So basically, I learned that when an attorney calls you into the office, they're not going to waste their time. They're not going to waste your time. They will tell you over the phone if you have a case or not. I have a meeting with the attorney on Monday, and he wanted me to come into the office right away so that we can discuss everything that I put in my email. And one thing I tell KL and for other people, I don't even care if I don't walk away with a dime from my former employer.
I care.
That's not what I'm in it for.
That's what I'm in it for.
I just feel that
it's either that or the ski mask.
I don't want them to get away with mistreating and misusing another employee in that facility. And I'm thankful that I do have the support of many of my former colleagues, and I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm happy about that. I'm not even upset. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what are we going to do as far as income until I can find a job, maybe part-time, full-time. But, you know, it is what it is. These are the things that happen in life, and I'm not going to cry over it. I'm just going to go and do what I have to do to make sure that KL and I are on the right path. So that was my weekend. You know what's funny? I'm actually going to be on a set of a film tomorrow morning, which I'm looking
same
forward to.
Same film as before? Same film or a different film?
It's actually the same film, but a different scene.
Okay.
And the producer contacted me, which I thought was so funny. And I said to her, I'm so glad you contacted me because I just got laid off. So I have a lot of time available. So if, you know, you want me to come into this project or any other project that you're working on, even anything that you hear, please let me know. And I'll be glad to fill in. So she contacted me. She said, and it's funny, when she sent me an email, she said, I have this scene that I really want you to be in. And I said, okay, great. And then she contacted me again, and she said, do you have yarn and knitting needles? And it was so funny because I do have yarn, but I didn't have knitting needles. And she said, because she would like me to be in a church scene knitting. That's what I'll be doing. So tomorrow morning, I will be on a set again filming a movie, and I'm excited about that. So I'm looking forward to it. And then Saturday, honey, are you going to be there Saturday?
What is Saturday?
The fundraiser, Classic Walkdown. KL and I are...
I'm not sure. I got work to do.
Okay, because KL and I are members of a bowling team called Classic Walkdown, and they're having a fundraiser for multiple sclerosis at Woodmere Bowling Lanes in Woodmere, New York. And it starts at 12 o'clock. It's from 12 to 4. And it's only $20 a person. And they're serving refreshments. So if you are available Saturday, definitely come out. Help us raise funds for multiple sclerosis. Again, it's Woodmere Bowling Lane.
Woodmere?
Yeah, Woodmere.
Okay.
And it's from 12 to 4. And again, it's only $20 a person. That's a good deal, especially when you're getting refreshments. If anyone knows about bowling, bowling can be very, very expensive. So I said I would come. I can't bowl, but I can come and help out and, you know, show my support to our team. And that's what I'll be doing on Saturday.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll be there then, because I don't know how you're going to get there, Waddles.
Well, you better stop calling me Waddles.
I'm saying you're waddling now. You're tilting back and forth like you're about to fall over. You're like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You know, I am waddling. I have to say that the reason why, and I didn't realize, I used to always wonder, is it because of the size of the stomach? Oh, excuse me. I'm yawning.
Yawning on the air. How unprofessional is that? What is that?
I'm sorry.
What is that?
I didn't know if it was because of the size of the baby or what that caused women to waddle, but then I started experiencing what's called SPD, which is symphysis pubic dysfunction. And basically what that is the pelvic bone has a ligament that holds the pelvic bone together, and that ligament becomes soft during pregnancy because of the hormones. And sometimes it shifts out of place, and it could cause inflammation and all type of pain to the point that sometimes you can't even walk. Thankfully, it's not that bad for me that I can't walk, but it does cause me some discomfort, and that's what's causing me to waddle. So yes, I started waddling, and I don't like it very much because, as Kale knows, even from a long time ago, I don't like the little duck walk. It drives me crazy. So he's making fun of me, and I don't like it.
Yeah, well, you keep waddling. That's a good thing. So, what's going on in the news? I know we all got to be prepared to be unhappy.
Well,
here it comes.
I wanted
actually, you know what? Hold on. Before you get into the news, make sure that you mention the young lady from Detroit.
Can I do my news?
I'm sorry. All right.
Thank you. Before I was so rudely interrupted by KL, I was going to mention the young lady from Detroit, Renisha McBride. I talked about her last week. She's 19 years old, and she was shot on the porch of someone that she was actually trying to seek help from after a car accident. So there was a follow-up story to the incident, and the police are trying to decide whether or not they're going to press charges against the person who did the shooting. Now, I'm torn between whether outrage or if this is just, you know, what justice is. But when I started reading further in the article, and of course we knew this was going to come up, they say that the young lady, Renisha McBride, was intoxicated. She was actually 2 times the legal limit for driving, and she was actually driving her car when she was in an accident before she was killed. So they said she was 2 times the legal limit, and also she had marijuana in her system. So KL, he brought up a good point last week that we don't know under the circumstances in which she approached the door of the person who shot her, and maybe they did think she was breaking in, because if she was under the influence, she had too much to drink, and if she was smoking weed, we don't know what her mental state was after being in the accident and also being inebriated. So it's just a shame that this happened, but I also think we can't give people the message that it's okay to come to your door with a shotgun and shoot somebody in the back of the head. So I don't know. What do you think?
You don't know how she came to the door. You don't know if the alcohol and the other stuff in her system played a role in her behavior towards that. I know that. I'm just repeating it. And so with that, if you let me finish, with that said, it's hard to make a sound statement without sounding judgmental, because on the surface, as I said last week, there's a young woman dead, and there's a man that shot her because he felt threatened, but he has a gun in the house. And so I don't know what to think. I read it, and a part of me wants to, I'm trying to not go right to the white-black thing, but then I read that you're above the limit drinking and you have a marijuana system. But again, for me, I don't ever trust what I read, because I know how media can portray things, and you have to be careful with stuff that's put out there. I just think in this case, if they ruled it a homicide, they're basically just saying that she died from a wound from a gun, which is a homicide.
Right.
You know, she, whatever.
Right.
That doesn't mean that he committed a crime.
Right.
And so it is very difficult for me to side one way or the other, so I'm just going to straddle the fence on this one. And I'm going to say, you know what, this is one of those where the Lord knows the truth, and I hope that if he was just being malicious, he finds a way to get himself together and try to fix that with God. And if he wasn't and he really felt that he was being threatened and she came to the house incorrectly, I still fear there's other things that she could have did, because he called 911. But I believe he called 911 after he shot.
Yeah, he called 911 after he shot her.
I think you could have positioned yourself in the house and called 911 at that
moment. He shot her
in
the back of the head, which means at that point
she was turning.
Of him shooting, she was not a threat. He was in his house.
She
was not a threat.
Hit the door, he's behind the door. He doesn't know that. I thought about that too. But if he's behind the door and you don't know how she was coming to the door, and you don't know what was said, which might have prompted him to let off the shot. Like I said, everything leads to jump forward and be like, a white man kills another black child and you want to bug out. And it might be that. I'm just going to say I'm going to hold a fence on this one, simply because there's not enough. The one thing I think, if I haven't learned nothing else in the last couple of weeks with listening to a lot of things that go on the news, you got to wait until you can get more information than what is initially reported within the first couple of weeks, because the story can change so frequently. Like, we listen to the story now, but if we find out she threatened him or made some type of a comment that made him feel that it was more than what it was, then was he justified in shooting? You know, you say, well, how can you just shoot randomly through the door? You don't know how she came to the door banging on it. Let's be real. If you're sleeping and someone comes banging on your door and they've been drinking, you don't know what might have been said. You don't know what might have been said if he didn't open up the door.
But, you know, the door's closed. They're not a threat until they come through the door.
True, but you don't know. Like I said, to me, it's leaning towards it's just a dude wild out with a gun and some charges need to be placed. But I'd rather get all the information. And I'm going to be honest. If it turns out that he panicked and didn't want to wait to see what happened and killed that young lady, he should go to jail and be processed to the full extent of the law.
Well, I just want everybody to know, I don't drink and I don't smoke weed. So if any unfortunate incident of someone shooting me because they felt threatened, and you hear that I had weed or alcohol in my system, know that it's a complete lie. So I just, you know, things just seem suspicious to me, especially when it comes to certain areas that are not dominant in, and that was one of them. So, but anyway,
so I just wish her and her family, as well as his family, I wish them all some type of peace in all this, because I know it must be very difficult for his family. It must be very difficult for her family. And no one gains from this, because having to deal with this, having to live with this, and I think we have to start learning how to extend outwardly to everyone involved, because everyone is at a loss with this. And if he has to do time,
that's a hard lesson learned. That's a very hard lesson learned if he has to do time. But I think my husband got knocked off, but. I just think that it's too easy for people to obtain guns without proper training. And when I say proper training, I'm not just talking about how to shoot it, how to aim it. I'm talking about under what circumstances you should use it in self-defense. Under what circumstances you should claim that you felt threatened. You know, like I said, he was in his house. So as long as he was in his house behind a locked door, that young lady, with her back to him, was no longer a threat. So to me, and again, I'm not an authority on it, but to me, it doesn't seem like he was justified in the shooting. Hopefully, KL will come back on. In the meantime, I will continue with the news. And I was talking to KL earlier this week about Powerball winner from New Jersey, who actually, he won $338 million in March from Cliff, New Jersey. He is currently in the news because his longtime girlfriend is suing him for her portion of the lottery winnings. Now, I find it funny because KL and I have talked about living girlfriends and long-term girlfriends in previous shows, and the things that you're just not entitled to, let's be honest. Pedro Quezada, he's the guy that won the Powerball lottery. $338 million, he was helping his community. He owned a store with a girlfriend, a long-time girlfriend, also owned a house together. They've been together for 10 years. And she went to court to have his assets freeze until they could determine, the judge could determine, how much she was entitled to. Well, the judge first said, you know what? You're not entitled to freeze the assets. Because you as a girlfriend don't have any legal ramification to do so. And yes, it's cute. It shows a commitment that you were there for 10 years. But I try to explain to women all the time, and I definitely, when I'm mentoring the younger girls and the teens and the early 20s, when you decide to play house with someone, because that's exactly what it is when you're still a girlfriend after 10 years, when you decide to play house, these are the things that people don't think about. Now, all of us, I mean, winning the lottery is like you have more chances of being struck by lightning than winning the lottery. So winning the lottery is not, you know, feasible to most people, but it's the smaller things you need to think of also, like life insurance, health insurance. What happens if you two do own property together and live together and then it doesn't work out and you're not married? The trouble that you go through as just a girlfriend is horrible, because now you have a man who, after 10 years, is about to pack up his millions and say goodbye and leave you with nothing. And now you have to try to fight.
Okay, what fight?
Oh, you didn't
listen
fully.
Well, I did listen. What fight?
The fight between having
her
fortune.
You weren't married? No portion. Stop right there. Y'all weren't married. Ain't no portion.
Behind
you. She was a girlfriend.
You
know. No. Hold on.
Yes.
You had 10 years to convince this man that marriage was where you two needed to be. If in 10 years he didn't intend to marry you and didn't marry you, that should tell you something about the relationship right there. So you're not entitled to anything. You would hope that morally he would go, you know what, she's been with me, but I just was writing on this. It's funny. You don't know what their relationship was. Remember, he had fell behind in his child support because of the debt that they had racked up trying to keep the store open.
Right.
You don't know if he did that by himself. You don't know what role she played in him becoming broke.
But he was there for 10 years. He was dealing
with
it for 10 years.
But he may have kept her simply because he felt, I'm not the type of dude to kick her out on the street because, but I got to keep this business going. You don't know what their relationship was. I think, like, I've been watching how women have been responding. It's like, yo, how could he do that? And no one ever stopped and said, maybe dude just put up with it because he put up with it. And I know from my first marriage, sometimes I was married 8 years, and I wasn't happy a year. I can't remember one good year. If you ask me, why did I stay with her 8 years? We had children. Maybe she was great with his kids. So you break off a little bit because she was great with the kids, you don't know. But either way, he was in debt with her. And you don't know if she helped cause her debt. And you don't know how she acted once he got the money. See, because this comes out a year later. You don't know how she started.
No, it wasn't even a year. It was March of this year. So.
Okay, but you don't know how she acted once the money came in, which maybe caused that. I think people react because it's, oh, he's taking his money from her. She's entitled. No, she is not.
You know what? I see it as if I was good enough to spend 10 years with when you were broke and in debt and struggling.
You married me, so this way if I came in anything, you would have been entitled. You didn't think of your own future. You were supremely stupid in my part. If you stay with a man 10 years and you don't have nothing in writing, in investments or whatever that the two of you have, you're stupid. Because you leave the door open for him to leave you for the next chick or to just walk away from you and to gain nothing. If y'all don't have anything put together, if you don't even own a portion of the store. So why is it that you're with a man 10 years and you have not gained to a point where y'all have mutually things together?
They do. They have the store and they have a house. But he is basically, as far as the money is concerned, he's taking the money and trying to go. And New Jersey, you know, I meant to look it up. I believe New Jersey is like New York. There is no common law marriage. So
exactly.
You can't even claim that as a reason why you should be entitled to any of the winnings, which is a sad case. I agree with you. That's why I keep trying to tell them I've been in these long-term relationships with nothing to show for it. And unfortunately, it looks like he's going to walk away because they, according to the article, they had already, they can't find $20 million of it. So apparently
Smart man. Don't trust him. Let me put some dough up just in case.
It's just missing. So I don't know how $20 million just goes missing. But it's something to think about. It really is. And
so,
like
this. You know, go ahead.
So I was going to say, because Shay, one of, you know, my friends, she said on Facebook, you have to know the person that you keep in house with. And I can agree with that to some extent, too, because you don't know sometimes how somebody's going to react when that type of money comes into play. I mean, you two have $338 million. And like I told Kale, if you never had $338 million and this person's been with you for 10 years, it's not going to hurt you to give away half to that person.
Right. You lost your mind.
You lost your mind.
Yeah, that's easy to say when you ain't never had $380 million. Here you go talking about trying to give somebody half. Stop that fool. You can give it away. You try to give it away and see what happens. You can't give half away. You can't give half away without my permission, so it ain't happening. So I ain't even worried about you.
Funny, I'm talking about in the circumstances of their relationship. They've been together for 10 years. Give her the money.
See
them
to
go
the
way
present. Okay, 10 years is bad years. You should still give
her? Yeah, you stuck out there for 10 years.
You stayed there for
10 bad years. That's 1 year.
What if
you gonna punish her now because you decided to stick in a bad relationship for 10 years?
Pendulum might have swung. The pendulum might have swung his way. Listen, if you can't tell me what relationship they had, you can't, other than just them being together 10 years, you can't justify her getting anything. If you can't tell me that they had a great relationship, if you can't tell me she was an outstanding wife, if you can't say she did all the things that a wife should get, she played herself. To be with this clown 10 years and you not move it to something that lets him say to the world, this is the woman that I love for the rest of my life, you are a part-time lover at best.
You know, we have to have a show about that.
Anybody listening can get upset about it. If you were a clown that long, brothers too, if you were a chick that long and y'all don't decide to move it forward, why?
The reason why I'm saying we have to have a show about that, because I know a lot of people who have been in long-term relationships And it's funny because most recently, one of my friends, she was with her, well, her husband, they're married now. They just got married a couple of years ago. But she was with her husband for almost 20 years before they actually got married. They met in high school. I knew someone else almost 20 years before they got married. They just got married a few years ago. I'm not sure why people wait that long. And I'm not just saying 20 years. They have 20 years, children.
I'm glad they got rid of common law, too. Holding cats up because you're in a long-term relationship. And now I got to pay. And me and this chick didn't even get married. Now I got to give a dough? Nah, man. No.
KL and I would not have lasted that long. 20 years?
Oh, no. We did. 20 years? No. 20 years? No. We together
We were together 7 years.
Seven.
But that wasn't because we weren't sure whether we were getting married or not. Remember, you were in school. I was in school. You know, things, life was going on. But after 5 years, even before 5 years, we knew that we were going to be together. I just can't see 20 years and not having any type of commitment.
Was he divorced?
I think he
was. Was he divorced? Was he married? See, these are the things that I don't know the particulars, because was he still married to the first wife? Was he divorced? Was he separated? Because, you know what? If you get into that, and again, like I said, if you don't have all your ducks in a row, sayonara. Sorry. I hit the lotto. You didn't. It's some money. Keep it moving. I know it sounds cruel, but listen, I'm not. Check this out. I think it's time that we stop trying to cut, find breaks for people that's not doing what they're supposed to do. Yeah, hold that punch in the face. I bet you'll figure something out next time.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry. I don't really. And it'd be the same way if it was the dude. If you had that much time, why didn't y'all move forward? Why didn't you tell the world, this is my wife, this is my husband? Why didn't you move forward like that? So y'all were playing house, y'all were playing. Well, you know what? Dude said, I don't want to play no more. I don't got to play with you. I'm good. I'm moving to another neighborhood. And what's crazy is everybody's attacking him. Oh, he's no good. You can't tell me what type of chick she was. He might have thought that's all he could have got. Well, you know what? $380 million later, I can get somebody different now. I'm good. You're like, that's messed up. But you know what? Okay. If you lost, if a fat person lost 300 pounds and went from 550 to 220, you think they still hanging out with the same 550 people that they, pound people they was hanging out with before? Now, they may hang out with a few, but they not staying in the same circle that they were in before. Now, you may go, well, that's messed up. Now, you know, lost all the, yeah. Now, that doesn't mean they should treat the people with the size that they were before badly. We don't know if he's treating her badly. All we know is that he's not giving her no bread. Okay. Now, like I said, morally, in my mind, you break off something. You know what, baby? I'm not going to do you dirty like that because you did stay with me. Here's looking something for yourself, but I don't want to be married now. I don't want to be. I'm going to explore the world. I'm going to do things I could never do before in my life. And some people say, that's messed up. Okay. At least if you're honest about it, and if you give her something for her trouble, fine. Because if y'all didn't get married, then what were y'all really saying to each other anyway? And I think that's where people are not looking at it. They're like, oh, that's messed up. Yeah, it's not the best situation, but yo, stop playing house. Stop playing living girlfriend. Stop playing living boyfriend. You know how many chicks have said to me, I can't believe that he bypassed me and went back to his ex. I can't believe that he didn't want to be with me and him and some new chick are now getting married. Jill Scott got a song. Married? Really? We were both seeing each other, but okay, Jill, get it together. He got married. And you're not the choice. And anybody listening know that they know some dude or some chick out there that's sitting there with their jaw open. Yo, how should you go back to him? Because he had it together. He had what you did, your part. And that's the crazy part, is that even, what's his name, Vesta, congratulations. Singing a song, huh? You marrying somebody else. Yeah, okay, not you. What you upset about? I'm sorry. And, you know, sometimes money uncovers things that you normally wouldn't bring to the forefront. Money does that. Money will cause people to bring out who they really is. And it doesn't mean that it brings out the super negative in you, but it definitely will bring out the things in you that you didn't know was there. So you in a relationship, we don't know how happy he was. Now he has a chance to go out and just see the world. He might not want to see it with her. But I know some people going, wow, KL, that's messed up. Yo, check this out. How many times have we stayed in situations just because? How many times have we done whatever? You know, I'm going to tell you what, you know, it's crazy. Tiff, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm saying, so let me ask you this, because I know before we go to break, but hold on a second, because this is serious for me. This is...
You passionate about this?
I'm very passionate about this. You know why? Because I think too often the man catches the brunt when we don't look at the whole thing, and I'm going to use myself as an example. People didn't know how bad things were between my ex-wife and myself. We went to affairs together. And do you know that people didn't even know that we were separated?
Really?
When I showed up, people said, where you been? What you mean where I've been? I don't live with her no more. She did a fantastic job of masking that I was even gone. But when we were in a relationship, I'm just talking about in a relationship, because we were together since 1989, and I left in 2000. So that's 11 years we were connected to. So I have a little connection to this whole 10-year thing. And I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I love my children. If I win $380 million, I am taking my kids or making an attempt to take them. If I can't take them, I'm going to put up college funds for them. But for the man I am, I would have gave her some dough just so she could have some dough. So I ain't got to hear her mouth about why I couldn't get the dough. She's my...
And then she would look for more because she would swore you was hot in the rest.
You know... Yeah, whatever. But I'm just saying, the reason why, but the point I'm trying to get at is, but no one knew the pain that was going on inside the relationship. No one knew what was happening. And so we were able to hide it. You don't know. I remember when this story happened, it said that the man was working hard to keep the store open. So that's what caused him to fall behind the child support. But everyone was saying he's a good dude. That's why he said he's going to take the money and pay the people's rent, because he wanted to give something back. I didn't hear anyone say he was a bad dude. So now, after sitting down and thinking about it, he's paid the rent, he's done something. He might have started realizing that there's just choices that he made in his life at that moment that fit that moment. And 10 years can go by faster than you realize. I can remember being in college and dating my ex-wife to being married. But like I said, I can't remember one good year. Now, people always go, wow, KLS messed up. I say, look, this is the reason why I wrote the book. I wasn't a good husband. But we stayed in that relationship because our children, for whatever. And towards the end, we weren't even communicating. I remember my son saying, Daddy, you and Mommy don't kiss like Uncle Gene and Aunt Lisa. And that's when I realized it was time for me to go, because I was raising my sons to believe Daddy sleeps in the living room and Mommy sleeps wherever. I don't care. And I said, I can't teach my sons to be like that. But if you would have gave me $200 million, $300 million, man, please. I wouldn't even pack a bag. The minute I looked at the ticket and saw those six numbers, it would have been like Harlem Nights. Yeah, put your mom on the phone. Yeah, this KL, I ain't never coming home. Click. So I'm just saying, ladies, if you with some dude that long and y'all two haven't discussed marriage and you haven't been able to get this man to see that you are the wife that he needs in his life, then you played yourself. And dudes, if you with a chick and you unhappy and you not where you're supposed to be and you haven't, you convinced her that you should be that main dude. Why? Why play house? Because if something happened,
because most men don't want to get married anyway. They already done studies on that, and especially in the African American family, because they don't have any good role models. So the idea, if there is a woman that's going to sit there and play house, the man is going to sit there and play house with her. If she's not pushing to do anything but be the girlfriend, the man's going to sit there and allow it. So I think more of the responsibility should be on a woman to say, listen, this is not how I roll. I expect some type of commitment.
True. I mean, and it should move it to that point. So, you know what, we could go back and forth with this. Like I said, I'm passionate about it because I think too often people automatically assume because a man makes a drastic decision. Listen, it was a drastic decision for me to leave my ex-wife and to say I'm done and that I need to be out of this and I needed to free myself. I didn't know the Lord then, and I got married for all the wrong reasons. It was time to go. And I know there's some people that say, well, you know what, you can't get remarried again, and that's a conversation we're going to have for another day. But I knew I was creating an unhealthy environment for her, for my children, for myself. I knew that we had no emotional connection, no loving connection, nothing. And I knew that the longer I stayed in that environment, I was damaging my children. So money at that point would have been a perfect fix. And I think we have to not always look at money as evil, because money is not evil. It is how the person sees the money that makes it evil, and then what they choose to do with it. And I think what you also have to look at for this man is that if you didn't hear anything negative other than him falling behind his child support, well, you know what? There's people that would swear that I'm a great dude, and I believe I am a great dude, but I was behind in my child support. But if you didn't ask me why I fell behind in my child support, well, you could have put me out on the news and said, well, this cat got multiple kids, and he's behind in child support, and he a deadbeat dad. You could have made it seem like I was the worst dude on the planet. That's why you got to be careful when you hear that. You know, and these are the things that you have to look at simply because. But look, baby, let's take that break because I know you want to take a break. So tell you what, this is Reality in Relationships. We're going to dive back into this subject a little bit more when we come back. Every Thursday night from 8 to 10, tune in. And if you're listening now, tell a friend to tune in. And if they want to call in and jump on this subject about this dude and this young lady and the money and all that other stuff, feel free. The number is 646-200-3838. Just press 1 to let the host know that you're interested in telling us how you feel. You think I'm a fool and want to let me know it? Be careful how you say that. I am sensitive. But I am definitely open to hear your point of this matter, and we will be back in two songs. See you in a minute.
Take me higher.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I be with my baby.
Yes. It's here built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
And down, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. Never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to
and
me.
And it doesn't matter,
I know.
Whatever comes our way, you know. You and me, we gon' stay together.
I wanna give you, make love to you, put you on a rocket fly, keep on loving till we touch the sky.
Welcome back to Reality Relationship. Okay, take it. Go ahead. What
happened? Did you get to pick the mute button off?
No. It was off. Come on, go ahead. You got it.
Good. I mean,
no, go ahead.
You listen to Reality Relationships with my husband, who forgets to take the mute button off, KL Belvin, and I am Tiffany Braxton Belvin. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Pedro Quezada. He's the New Jersey resident who hit the Powerball jackpot earlier this year, $338 million. And actually, after taxes, he walked away with $152 million, which $20 million of it is now missing. But we were discussing his long-term girlfriend, who he owns a grocery store with, He also owns a home with. They've been together for 10 years. And we were discussing the fact that she went to court to try to freeze his assets in order to see or have the court see how much she should be entitled to as his long-term girlfriend of the rest of the lottery winnings. So Kale was giving his take on it. And you want to continue, honey?
No, I mean, like I said, I'm, and actually it's funny because I'm having a conversation online at the same time, too. It's that...
That's why you couldn't come back from the break to the show.
No, I was here. I don't get caught up in like that. The thing is, I think there's too many gray areas that you have to consider. And I just want folks to understand is that we have to wait to see. If we don't know what relationship they had, it's hard to say one way or the other. I believe that if she was the honorable person, you give her some dough, and that's it. If you still want to separate, it's different when you've made those declarations and you do those things, because if you've made those declarations to the Lord that this is who you're going to be with, then you are responsible for that person, and you go from there. But we don't know what type of relationship they had. We do know that they had a child, but we don't know what the circumstances are. You don't know... What I mean, I hear women all the time hold small things. Or I went through it myself with an ex who lied for 7 years that my child was in one place when he wasn't, because she was worried about me taking him from her. So people are capable of doing many things in a relationship that don't come to light until later on. And Sister Wilson made a point online, and I got to read it, when she was like, you know, the money is a weak excuse. It really is. But weak people use weak excuses to get out of situations, where most of us who have our feet on the ground and are firmly planted, we don't need weak excuses. We'll walk right up to somebody and say, you know what, check this out, it's not working, we're done. Where soft and weak-minded individuals look for outs. Sometimes they create suspect outs to try to get out.
Just like women who... need another guy in order to get out of their relationship.
You know, and this is what happens. I just think that when you look at this, money will uncover. I remember that Deion Sanders said, when you all of a sudden go from not having anything to becoming rich, it'll be magnified to who you really are. And you don't know what that situation was before. And so the money might have just uncovered some things that was there, but now he had the opportunity. And I think this is what we just have to wait and see. You know, I hated that it comes to this, but I hope that the brother is smart enough. Now, we don't know if he's smart enough. We don't know how he ran himself into debt. I've been reading this story that was posted, and I'm looking at it, and it's saying that he has money here in the Dominican Republic, and then it's talking about how much money she helped start the West thing with. If you've gone through all this with her, give her some of whatever if you want to separate it. Take care of it and go on about your business. But it's a matter of if she was that, don't lie. Don't use the money to hide behind it. But if she wasn't, yo, do you. Because you can't allow yourself to get. Listen, how long did we deal with my ex feeling she was entitled long after it was over?
Still
dealing with it. You know what I'm saying? And this is the thing, is that you have to look at certain people to see what the situation is. You really do, and I just would like to see some information to get an idea of what this relationship was. You know,
but
I just think too often
you'll probably never get the truth. At this point, he'll say she was the worst person in the world to keep his money. So let's be honest. How many people are going to want to part with that type of money? But I just think after 10 years, okay, to get her out of your hair, give it to her. Is it really going to hurt him?
Exactly. So it's just, and I think, and it's easy when we don't have that type of money or that type of situation, but I would ask anyone is that what sways it one way or the other? Is it just simply the 10 years? Is it simply the fact that they had a child? Or do you need more? Because if it's just simply the 10 years, well, then there's no argument. I can't argue that. I can't offer no response to that. It's a matter of knowing what things was put into place. But it's just a matter of trying to see all the way around. And, you know, the dude may be a horrible dude. I'm not defending him. He may be a horrible dude. And if he is, and this is the way he wants to try to deal with it because he wants to hoard it all, he'll never keep it. I don't like when I see folks go one way.
Mm-hmm.
Because we come out and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, it was like that. Yeah, oh, it was different. Yeah.
Right.
And I think having my own issues with the media, you know.
I think just like the Venetia McBride situation, where initially we're all like, we're outraged because here it seems like, okay, another black person being killed by a white person, but then you find out, okay, she was drinking, she was under the influence, she was having marijuana in her system. Now you have to look at it, okay, you don't know what the circumstances were. Obviously, anyone listening, realizing we're talking about things in the news today, I wanted to bring up something else because I know we spoke about the lottery situation, but I wanted to bring up something else in the news that seems to be catching a lot of media attention now, but I have explained to someone on Facebook earlier, she said, what is this new thing about kids playing this game called Knockout?
Okay.
And I explained to her that it's actually not new, so I'm not understanding why the media is just picking up on it. But the kids are now playing, well, they've been playing it, a game called Knockout, where they randomly choose someone on the street to hit them as hard as possible in order to try to knock them out with one punch, a one-hitter quitter, as we all know it's called in the hood. Unfortunately, I was reading the article that there are three kids, and I have to say kids, because I didn't realize, when I heard the story, I didn't realize how young they were, but they're now facing jail time for killing a homeless man in Hoboken, New Jersey. And honey, because I know we were talking about the story earlier this week, but a 46-year-old homeless man, his name is Ralph Eric Santiago, was killed just a couple of months ago by two 13-year-olds and a 14-year-old who thought it would be funny to hit him, again, playing this game called Knockout, and he wound up hitting his head on the concrete. From what I read, his head got wedged between a gate, like his neck was between the opening of a gate, and he died there on the sidewalk. When I read the story further, I learned that he had become disabled from a similar attack years earlier that rendered him disabled to the point that he was actually in a coma for a month and had to learn how to walk again and all type of therapy and everything, and he actually had brain damage from a similar attack years ago. Then to have this happen again by these three young kids, it's just, it made me very, very sad that he was probably already suffering from whatever injuries he had previously. But then to have
put him in with your man, the booty warrior. Put him in there with the booty warrior.
Now,
and I want you. Put him in there with the booty warrior. You like to knock people out? Put him in there with the booty warrior. When my man walk up to you and go, you know what this is. Now, we could do it the easy way, or we could do it the hard way.
I say
put him in there with the booty warrior, yes.
Well, honey, we still have to remember 13 and 14 years old.
Let me tell you something. All right, folks. Some urban children do some of the dumbest things in the world to entertain themselves because there was no nurturing for many of them. Not all, some. More than many, but enough that this garners the attention of media. When they're knocking each other out, no one says anything. Now they start knocking out random people, and now we want to change the laws. Should have came in the neighborhoods and did something. They were knocking each other out for fun. But the minute that you start seeing folks that you can maybe concern yourself with, it is an issue. It is a problem all the way around. Anyone hurting anyone randomly is idiotic, ignorant, and just stupid. But the problem is, like everything else, the minute that you start to see folks who look like other folks get knocked out. World star hip-hop, and I have been saying this for 4 years now. World star hip-hop shows hundreds, thousands, maybe in the tens of thousands, videos of people getting beat senseless. And no one says nothing. Now some kids start to roam the streets and start beating up random teachers, beating up homeless dudes. Now we got to talk about this on Channel 11 News. Urban children knockouts. They're going around knocking out people. Can you explain why urban children would like to knock people out? And then they find a dude who seems somewhat ghetto eloquent. You know, they're trying to do the one-hitter quitter, and, you know, I was even robbed at one point. I wonder why, bruh. Because the idea is we are not demanding more from children in these environments, and we're not demanding more from their parents. So it's, come on, at some point, stop. It's like, come on, stop. It's like, start getting at these kids when they beat up on each other. You know how many kids have gotten jumped and nothing is done? Start locking some of the kids up then. Start doing some of those things now. I mean, then, now, I'm saying, not now. Show me the professor going straight down. Come on, man.
I don't think jail is the answer. What I do believe in, and I say this all the time, I believe we should bring back flogging. I believe there should be a viewing stadium where you can watch people get beat with sticks, flexible sticks. Isn't that what the pastor said this weekend, honey? Flexible sticks.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's okay to spank your children with flexible sticks. That's what we should have. We should bring back flogging, put them in a center, hold their arms up, legs down, they can't move, and have somebody flog them. Like, I honestly believe these kids that run around punching people, that when the people finally come to, if they don't kill them first, they should have these kids in a ring with the person that they punched and let that person, their victim, go 5 rounds with them and tear their behind up. Since they find it so funny to go around punching people.
No, you know what you do? No. You simply put some handcuffs on them, drop them to the cabs that they knocked out, ring the doorbell, and let that person decide what they want to do. Ring the doorbell. Mr. Jones, here's the kid that knocked you out. Go ahead in there. Now, Mr. Jones is a righteous man and says, I just want to sit and talk with you to see why you did this to me. Okay. But if Mr. Jones is some super freak perv, it is what it is. Because at some no, I'm
KL.
Listen.
My husband is not advocating.
No. I'm listen.
Honey.
Say what you want. Okay. Listen. Sometimes when you gotta come face to face with the things that you do in ways that you don't want, you shake you up pretty quick. Urban kids are tough. You're not scaring them with the usual. Many of these kids have been in the system, and some of them know other kids have been in the system, so certain fears that you would think kids have, they don't. I've been teaching 16 years in the New York City school system in these same type of neighborhoods, dealing with these same type of kids. I have seen kids drop teachers. I have seen one-hitter quitters on teachers, and sometimes I laugh and go, let me tell you something, bro. If you ever hit me like that, and you know what some of them go? Nah, B, we wouldn't do that to you. Why? Because you crazy. You right. You're right. I am crazy. You ever even thought of it? If I even just sat at my desk and looked over at you, you looked at me and I thought you was thinking that. We might have to have a conversation. Because the problem is, if you're not going to enforce the rules at lesser times, you can't wait until you can't try to put the fire out when the whole forest is burning. You got to put it out when it first starts and try your best to. You can't now wait till it's complete blaze and go, what are we going to do? No, it's too late. You don't put the fire out after the whole house is burnt down. These kids have been hurting each other for the longest. You got to put a stop to this and start making parents own that weight. Your child out here knocking people out, you got to pay for that. You got to pay his medical bills. And if you don't have no money and you getting it from the city, a portion that goes to him for the rest. For the rest of the time that you're on city funds, 20% of that goes to the cat you knocked out or hurt. 30% of that goes. Watch out quickly some of these parents tighten these kids up when that money doesn't come in. Because there's no way you should be on city funds and your child out running amok. I've said that in school. Your child gets suspended more than 2 times, $50, and double it every time they get suspended. And if the parent is on city funds, we take it from that money first. Watch out quickly these parents start beating their children in the streets.
But then they can't do that either, remember?
Yeah,
they
okay.
Can't beat them in the street.
Okay, well, let's get the legal system to deal with that. But it'll straighten out some of these kids.
I think, like I said, you hit me, you better knock me out. Because if you don't, you will have a problem on your hands.
That's what I'm talking about. But even if they do knock you out, look, they're sneaking people. You can knock them out when you're sneaking them. That's why I said, you want to sneak somebody, fine. As soon as you arrest them, take them to the house. Boom, 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 boom. Here you go, Mr. Belvin. This is the three that did it to you. Really? We'll be back in a day. I go down and get my battery out of my car and them jumper cables. Man, please. Y'all saw Lethal Weapon. It'd be like Baby Boy. Hold your head up. Which one of you? With you? All right, hold your chin up. Hold your chin up. So I'm just saying it's a sad thing. It's not funny, but how come no one says anything about media takeout? World Star Hip Hop, that you have kids yelling. World Star, when they're seeing another child being beat senseless. I just showed you those videos the other day where you got girls and guys maiming each other, but no one seems to care because they're the same color. But the minute, and I'm not diminishing the homeless guy or the white man that was knocked out that we saw this morning, by no means. I'm saying that's the fire out of control.
Right.
They've been doing it for so long. Exactly. I say, because think about it. If I've knocked out enough that look like me, I'm going to get bored. Let's go knock out some people that don't look like me.
But the problem is now that they're hitting people that don't look like them, they're calling it hate crime. It's not a hate crime. They've been doing it for years in the hood. They, like you said, they got bored. They wanted to find somebody else they could do it to.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, come on. You know, it's like at some point, it frustrates me because I see these kids. Like, I deal with some kids who are just ridiculously out of control, and I'm saying to myself, I could use some help in dealing with them, but nobody wants to say anything. And it bothers me because I'm like, yo, but then let one of these kids go out and commit a crime to somebody who don't look like him, and then all of a sudden everybody wants to do
justice.
Something. It's crazy. It's just really crazy. Because it's like, why? And when I watched today and I saw that teacher walking and the kid just hauls off, and I mean hit him with everything he had, and the guy falls face first, and they said that he might have damaged his face because when he hit his face, you know, he didn't even get his hands up, so he was basically out when he got hit. I'm saying to myself, the fact that they walked away, didn't run, they were laughing and joking, lets you know that they've done this before. That should cause a problem. That should cause people to go, how do we fix this? Where do we go? Come talk to me. Come talk to a person who's a dean for the last 6 years, and you got to keep suspending kids and then being told that I can't suspend them no more. That There's nothing else that can be done. When I got a 16-year-old seventh grader who's about to turn 17 in the seventh grade, who's hanging out with girls who are 11, 12 years old, who's speaking about getting smashed on a regular, who's talking about when her coochie's getting thrashed at 16 or 17-year-old around girls who are 12 or 13-year-old. So where do you think that's going to lead to? When we got 16-year-old eighth graders who's going to turn 17 and can't get out of the eighth grade because they can't pass the basic test, so there's no more social promotion, so there's nothing you can do. So what's the point of him coming to school? But he comes. Sometimes
slow in
the week.
I don't think social promotion is the answer, but what happened to the alternative schools? There was a time where they took these kids that were causing problems.
Yeah, they have alternative schools. But the problem is, those alternative schools, you can't get quality educators there, because if you're not going to give the educators all the resources, why should they go and work? Why would I leave the school that I'm at to go work at an alternative school when you're going to pay me the same amount of money to deal with the worst kids? Why would I do that? Why would anybody do that? So what happens is you don't get the best teachers in these schools, so eventually those schools close.
Got it.
So it's like, come on. You know, and this is what no one stops to think. Everybody says, well, we need to put these kids here. Okay, who are you going to get to teach them? And you're not going to put them in jail because they're not old enough.
Well, again, like I said, I don't think jail is the answer. But we have to, something has to come of it. Something. Because these kids are 13 and 14 years old. Putting them in jail is not the answer. It's not going to prevent other 13 and 14-year-olds from wanting to play the same stupid game of knockout. We have to come up with some type
of...
People
say it's a game. You know what's funny is, and you let the kids... See, kids will get on the camera and say anything. Oh, it's a game. It's an expression. And it's not an expression where kids are sitting around and going, ooh, I'm bored. Like, if you really listen to what kids are saying, I don't have nothing else to do. I've heard that said in three different interviews where kids said, you know, you get bored, you just. And
but what I don't understand, honey,
yeah.
Okay, because yeah. We have a 9-year difference between us. But
yeah.
Kids today have access to way more than we did when we were younger.
And,
so
and the stuff that they have access
that bored,
to. The things that they have access to shapes the way that they behave right now. When I was younger, I had dudes that tried to set a homeless dude on fire on the subway just because. Just wanted to see what was going to happen. I hung out with dudes. Yeah, they knew what was going on. They just wanted to see him jump up and react like he was burning up. They didn't care if they actually killed him or not. I've seen dudes just beat up dudes because they can. Bullying and extra... exercising power over weaker individuals is not new. The problem is when you hype these kids up with video games that basically show all-out murder, rape, maiming, pillaging, and everything else, what do you think is going to happen when they walk outside? When Grand Theft Auto 5 and whatever the other military game that's out, Ghost Dot, whatever it is. I'm sorry, I can't call the name right now. But when all these games basically show you pinpoint detail on how to destroy another human being, and then you take every phone and up the megapixels to the point that you can now, with a cell phone, videotape a murder if you wanted to in clear detail. And now between Facebook, Instagram, and everything else, give it an outlet so folks can sit. You have tons of video compilations posted every day on Facebook. You get on World Star Hip Hop right now. Count the number of videos on one page. I guarantee you the videos with more violence or people acting out of their minds outweigh everything else. And I mean brutal violence. The only thing is we don't know the outcome. We don't know if some of these kids in the video died. We don't know if some of these women died. We don't know if some of these men died. We don't know if some of these children who are fighting each other ended up with brain damage. We don't know what happened because the videos don't play that long. Or when we see a kid knocked out and every you hear the kids going, ooh, they cut the video after that. We don't know if his eyes actually opened up again. But no one has a problem with that because that's not being talked about on the news. There's no running story about, World Star Hip Hop seems to continue to promote the utter destruction of black-on-black kids. But yet, teacher gets knocked out and the news can't stop showing it.
But
homeless man gets
the,
hurt.
Can't we blame the parents for that? For having access,
you know,
allowing the kids to have access to that?
You can blame the parents. They have partial blame. You can blame the video game companies. They have partial blame. You can blame the rappers.
I don't blame the video game companies. I blame the parents who buy the video games.
But you know what? Yes. I said they're culpable. But if I put it out there, I know it's going to get in the hands of somebody. Let's be real. Stop. If I put out sexual explicit books, I know they're going to find their ways into the hands of some folks who don't need it. And I can hide behind, hey, they should know what they're reading. Okay, you can do that. And if you okay with it, so be it. I'm going to call it like I see it. You put it out there, you're culpable. Because you know, because here's my thing, too. Once you find out that kids are using your product or whatever, and you continue to make it, then you are culpable. I remember Chris Webber. Years ago, Chris Webber was with Nike. This is when I was working in Port Authority. I was working in the World Trade Center in the shoe store. When Chris Webber found out that a kid got murdered, we have a caller. You know, I'm a whole lot. We got a caller that got in towards the end. Okay, we're going to put the caller through. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, this is D'Angela. How are you?
Hey, hello. What's going on, love? I've been talking to you on Facebook for something.
Right. I said, let me chime in with on these kids. Yeah, we're going back and forth with the debate on the lotto.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the air and I'm putting it online. Didn't miss a beat. How we doing, love? Go right ahead.
I'm good. I just, you know, in hearing this, I didn't know that quote unquote game was actually back. The knockout,
yes.
That resurgence, it's been revived again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it's unfortunately the system, which I understand systems are demonic, and it has been set up so from long ago to take the authority away from the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of leave children self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what has happened when you couldn't discipline your child in your home for BCW or whatever it's called now, coming in and removing children from the home because there was discipline. We had this witch hunt on children being abused because of a few high-profile cases. And so
exactly.
It made it hard for parents to discipline their children. And then you have the...
Says you can do it. Our same Bibles and the same Bible that all of them preach about and everything else says if you spare the rod,
you spoil the child. Exactly. So children need discipline. And
yes,
then you
do.
Take it, you took the discipline, you took the authority away from the teacher. So therefore, because I come up in the age of the teacher was your mother or your father for the however many hours or days you were in the classroom. They were the disciplinarian. So you now have that taken away. And where it wasn't the teacher, it was the dean or the principal, whereas that authority has been taken away. And like you stated, you after so many times of suspending a child, they basically tell you, you can't do it anymore. You know, therefore this child is just left to fall between the cracks. And these children, they have all, I heard the point of, you know, like they're bored. And they really are because they're over in... I don't want to say overindulged, but I think that there's just so much influx of information that they take in that they're not actually.
You made a good point. I just want to jump in because you make some good points because you say something that I've been saying to folks all the time is that we know that there's an influx of information that kids have available to them. The problem is there's no muzzle. Tiff talks about it often about parents using parental controls on things. And I remember she once went upstairs when we were paying for the cable when we lived with my mother. She went upstairs and put the block on the television when we found out that certain type movies were being looked at by my niece. And we were like, we're not paying for that. We're not going to allow that. And if their parents are not going to do anything, we're going to do something. Here's the thing that I say to folks all the time, and this is what people really need to pay attention to, and I'm saying this as an educator. When your child can go into the house at 3 o'clock, and have access to 24 hours of pure negativity, pure negativity. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about things of nature that's to the depths of demonic behavior. And you're not the master of whatever's in your house. If it's the cell phone, and I've said this before, if it's the cell phone, if it's the computer, the TV, I don't care what it is in your house. If anything is in your house that you are not the master of, that is where the evil will get in your child and start to shape your child's behavior. I don't care if it's cable television. I don't care if it's their cell phone. I don't care if it's the computer. I just showed Tiffa a Vine, and a Vine is a 7-second video that a lot of people make, and they become very appealing. In the Vine, it said how you acted when a teacher called your house when you was in grade school. And the teacher said, I'm calling your house. And the kid fell on the floor yelling and screaming. How you acted when you're in high school. He said, I'm calling your house. And the kid basically said, here's her home, her cell, her office, and the extension. And all the kids went, ooh, and the teacher just looked kind of stupid. But that was so real because that's where we are now. It's because once the kid has said enough information.
And to reiterate that point, I have an 11-year-old.
Okay.
And she's very passionate about TV, and I'm not a big fan of television. But I allow her to watch, and I've even, to the point, she can only watch it Friday through Sunday. I
gotcha.
Cut the TV from Monday to Thursday.
Gotcha.
And even what she watches, if I feel that it is not, if it's something that, because I notice with a lot of these shows, if you watch any of these shows, there's no, all of these kids' shows on Nickelodeon, there's no real parental guidance on these shows. These children are basically self-governing on these shows. And they make the adults look like idiots. And so there's, and even these cartoons you have to watch. They have a cartoon with a guy and his best friend is a snake. I said, really? I thought that will not play in my house. I said, because I don't understand. That, to me, don't make no sense. And I don't understand the creative mind behind that. But that won't be playing in my house because nobody's a best friend with a snake.
You know what it is, and I know what
it is. Exactly.
You know
what, let's take it back to the Garden of Eden. Exactly.
But D'Angelo, you know what? We're towards the end of the hour, and our show ends at 10. You have to call back in next week. We go from 8 to 10 every Thursday, the same phone number, or I put the link in the group, and you can actually click on the link, or you can come by my page. We put it up every Thursday. We would love to hear you chime in, because especially from parents, and we would definitely love to continue this next week, because these are the things that we definitely need to talk about. And Tiff and I are on every Thursday night from 8 to 10, so definitely spread the word. I don't mean to cut you off, but we definitely got to close out.
I know, because I have mine, too. I just did mine earlier. So God bless y'all. Have
Thanks
a good
love.
Night.
We'll continue Thanks this online.
Yes.
Have a good night. That's D'Angelo Wilson, everyone. And like I said, me and her were going, and another young lady and another gentleman, we were having a fantastic conversation online while the show was going on. I got to tell the truth because I am a Christian. I was stealing some of the information.
And actually,
I was stealing some of the information.
Next week's show, we're going to be talking about parenting styles.
Definitely. We can definitely.
Right. The different type of parenting styles, are they detrimental to your children's development? Because
D'Angelo, if you're listening, hold on 1 second, baby. D'Angelo, if you're listening, please call in next week, because that is something I would love for parents to hear, exactly how you govern your household. And I think we really got to revisit that conversation about television shows, because I definitely have some strong feelings about what's being shown to our children, the images and the side behind things. So please call in next week. Definitely want to hear your take on the different forms of parenting.
It's just interesting because KL and I, we have actually discussed in the past of whether we would even have a television in the house if we had children in the house. And now that we're having a baby, I'm very strong in believing in putting parental controls on everything. So definitely, we're going to talk about. Sorry?
It's 10. It's 10 o'clock.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We would love to go on. But I tell you what, anybody listening, that was a fast 2 hours. Anybody listening, please tune in next week. We're going to continue this conversation with types of parenting, and Tiff and I will definitely revisit this conversation because this is something that's very passionate, and we could definitely fill those 2 hours with, and I hope If you're listening, please share the information with anyone that has children, because we want to hear from all, even the Time Out parents, the Dr. Spock parents, and if you're not old enough to know who Dr. Spock was, I'm not talking about Star Trek, but look it up. And we'll definitely, actually, I'll have Tiff get that information for you next week. We'll even bring up Dr. Spock and the baby boomers and how that has changed. But with that said, it is 10 o'clock. I will say my goodbyes first. I want to thank you for listening, and I want to give all the praises to the Lord himself, for without him, nothing is possible. And so, Baby Doll, you close it out for us.
Oh, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in today. As today's, we actually didn't have one topic to discuss. We were discussing the news, because Cam always says I bring up bad news, but we wanted to discuss things that's happening in the world. So we talked about Renisha McBride, the young lady who was unfortunately killed when she was looking for help. We talked about Pedro Quezada, the millionaire who's now hiding money from his long-term girlfriend.
We don't know that yet. Stop assuming the negative, but go ahead.
We also talked about the three young men, the two 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, who are now facing possibly life in jail for killing a homeless man playing the knockout game. This is the world as it is, and it's something that we have to deal with, some of the things we have to deal with and address. Definitely tune in next week when we are discussing parenting styles here on Reality and Relationships every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, thank you for calling in. Your host, Sydney Braxton Belvin, and my wonderful husband, K.L. Belvin. Good night and God bless.
God bless.
Rose, I was born. Hey. Leroy, call me P-Boy. B is for poetry, the poetry is me, boy. My name's K-L, might as well call me O-K. I work out this vision with precision, it's my wordplay. Jehovah is my passion. I'm making marriage cool again, a pool of satisfaction. I'm writing from the heart, that's the way that it should be. A word resurrecting folks, reforming what you could be. A word break.